Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
There were two killers.
Luke, that's your daddy.
The robot did it.
Snake was a good guy.
He really wasn't cheating.
They was in purgatory the whole time.
What? Everybody dies.
Verbal Kent is Kaiser Sose.
They kill old Yella.
Oh my god. Everybody in this Tyler Perry movie got AIDS.
Spoiled movie reviews.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews on the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
And we are here to spoil a movie, okay? We do movie reviews for people who've seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing the movie, or don't care about spoilers, because we talk about everything in the movie. We spoil it. And today's movie is Soul, the Pixar animated movie on Disney Plus. It's you have Disney Plus, it's out there right now. You don't have to pay anything extra to go see it. Of course, we talk about what we liked about the movie, what we didn't like, and then we score from 0 to 5, and then we'll get to your comments at the end of this. We got a couple new comments. So Soul is the synopsis. A musician who has lost his passion for music is transported out of his body and must find his way back with the help of an infant soul learning about herself. Directed by Pete Docter and Kemp Powers. Written by Pete Docter, Mike Jones. And it stars Jamie Foxx as the voice of Joe, Tina Fey as the voice of 22. Graham Norton is Moonwind. Rachel House is Terry. Donnell Rollins is Dez. Felicia Rashad is Libba. I thought I recognized her voice.
Angela Bassett in it too.
Yes, Angela Bassett was Dorothea. Questlove is Curly. David Diggs is Paul. Like a pretty good cast here for the voices. As I said, we'll start with what we like, and then we'll get into what we didn't like, and then we'll score it. Karen, give me something you liked.
I absolutely positively love the music. The music was just gorgeous, from the piano to the jazz. Like, if you enjoy that particular type of music, you're going to love this movie, because it's full of jazz and horns and things like that. Even the intro was hilarious, because you know the intro with Disney is normally this move, da, 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 da. But when they introduced it, it was actually the students, and it reminded, if you play band or any type of like orchestra where you had to learn how to play music, I started laughing, because I was like, oh yeah, I remember them days where the teacher would be like, practice your music, you're not on the right note. And so it just brought back a lot of memories for people that have, even if you're not doing it anymore, but if you are at some point in your life where you had to learn the chords and the keys and things like that, and learn, you know, the spark and love of music, the music filled the whole movie up.
Yeah, and they use it in pretty much every scene, even when he's not actually playing music, because he's a music teacher, wannabe jazz musician, who is never really, quote unquote, made it big. He's never been able to become a full-time living musician. But he has this audition, I believe it was Dorothea, Angela Bassett's character. Mm-hmm. He has an audition for her, and the music he plays on the piano in the audition, you know, just takes you away. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I zoned out a little back there.
Joe Gardner, where have you been?
I've been teaching middle school band. But on the weekends,
You got a suit? Get a suit, Teach. A good suit. Back here tonight, first show's at 9, sound check's at 7. We'll see how you do.
So the music underpins everything, in every scene. Matter of fact, this is after he gets the gig. Listen to the music underneath it. So like that's all physical comedy and stuff, but this music underlaying it's like an old, it's like a jazz 2-hour set or whatever, just mm-hmm. under so many of these scenes. A thing that I really liked about it was the voice acting. I thought Jamie Foxx did a great job, you know, Questlove, like everybody did it. The recognizable voices was dope, but they didn't do the thing where they take a recognizable voice and they match it to the body type of the person.
Right.
Like it, cause sometimes you watch a movie and it's like, oh, this is just like the cartoon version of Tom Hanks or whatever. Mm-hmm. This one, it's like everyone, no one really looked like them, quote unquote, but everything was just like kind of you know, different body types and that fit into this world, and you know, it's a different style of animation than I've ever seen Pixar do.
Yes, for those of you that don't know, Soul actually has a podcast on Spotify that they been putting out the past few weeks to be prepared, get prepared for this, and they actually interviewed the cast and the crew and the director and things like that. And when they talked to Jamie Foxx, one of the things that he was talking about in this was like the voice acting and how, you know, this was different than, you know, the other things. And he was saying how he couldn't understand how you know, they would tell him to do it again and again and again and again, and then he would do it a certain way and they'd be like, that's animation. And so, you know, it's one of those things where they had a vision of how it would respond and how it would sound. And he said when he, once he seen the final product, he was like, oh, I understand, you know, why they had me do that. Because like you said, it's not, this is an animated version of Jamie Foxx. Is this is an animated character and it just happens to have a voice that sounds like Jamie Foxx.
Right. What else did you like?
I absolutely love, and you know me, baby, I love the colors. I am a color person. Like, I'm very sightful as far as like colors. They did a beautiful job with the colors. You know, things popped on Earth and in the otherly realm. Just the brightness of things, and particularly on Earth, you know, they show Earth in a way almost through the eyes of a child, you know, the brightness and things like that. And so for me, I absolutely love everything they did with the colors.
Yeah, I kind of piggybacking on that, but the spirit realm and the way they kind of explain the spirit world of you go here after you've lived life, and then there's another place where it's like an introductory to like I think they called them new souls. Mm-hmm. Like new souls get orientated into life, and there was some humor there, you know, Pixar type humor. I love how they made jokes about like different personality traits and like, oh, this person's gonna be a sociopath with tendencies for megalomania or whatever. Like,
it was like, that's the Earth's problem.
Boom! Yeah. Like, so they had some pretty good stuff with that, and finding your spark for life, and you know, classic, you know, kids movie misunderstanding thing they always do, you know, this one being that it's not about your spark for life means you find your purpose in life. It means you find you just are ready to enter life and experience it. And, you know, so you spend all this time thinking about that. But I love the way they just illustrated like the spirit realm and their idea of what a, because, you know, people are going to say this is about the afterlife. it's not so much about the afterlife as it was almost about the pre-life.
Mm-hmm.
It was really more like what does it take for a soul to be ready to experience Earth, and you know, when does one know that they're ready? So I thought that was cool, the whole mentorship angle and all that, especially with him being a teacher on Earth, and then him kind of selfishly, like him not really wanting to be a teacher, never truly enjoying it, and then him kind of selfishly becoming a teacher because he taught 22, Tina Fey's character, the inspiration or to be ready to start life. So I like that.
Yeah, and to kind of piggyback on what you were saying, I loved how they kind of showed the things that happen on Earth, how when people get in the zone, mm-hmm. you know, like when people, you know, play music or art or whatever your zone is, and how you almost go to a lot of people, you know, some people have said this almost like an out of body experience kind of, and they kind of show that mm-hmm. how you can get to the point where whatever your purpose or spark is can almost take you to another realm. And so I really appreciated, you know, that, you know, them showing, you know, all these people getting in the zone, but they also showed the downside of, you know, people get into the zone and they become so obsessed with the zone that it can also have bad side effects, and they kind of, which is the reality of it, and it kind of got into that too, and those people are called, you know, lost souls. So it was just interesting in how they kind of talked about life in another realm and how that kind of impacts the real world.
Yeah, I thought the way they illustrated that was just real cool. Another thing I liked was the barbershop scene.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was real, just a real cool scene with him as a cat, like the hijinks of, you know, Jamie Foxx going into the body of the cat and 22 going into his body, and kind of getting her training wheels to see what humanity was like. But yeah, I enjoyed that scene because it was, you know, it was like Black, but it wasn't like patronizing or whatever, and it just hit at the bigger message of the movie, which I think was, you know, a really cool message, which was, it's not necessarily the broad strokes of life, but the little paintbrushes of life that are the things that can bring you joy, the things you should appreciate, the things that life is really about, is not these huge peaks and valleys and these momentous like things, and how even having those dreams of grandeur and fame and success and stuff can make you miss the little things, like eating that slice of pizza, sitting outside, you know, just being here, being present on the earth for the small amount of time you're gonna be here. Sometimes people miss all that shit, being miserable or comparing themselves to what they should be, or looking for quote unquote a purpose to life or a thing you have to do, like you're trying to accomplish a checklist. And that's how he was living his life as a teacher. He wasn't really focused on teaching, you know, he was kind of like kind of selfish with it. As a musician, he was just upset that he wasn't able to be a musician full time, so he didn't enjoy anything else. You know, his mom and the pressure she put on him to be like, you know, you need to stop doing this and become a full-time teacher and leave this silly dream alone because look what your father did and all this stuff. And so I kind of enjoyed that the movie becomes about, as opposed to how big can you make your dreams and you can do anything, it was like, you're here, that's the miracle, and you're letting it walk by you, thinking of all the shit you're not and all the things you aren't doing and all the things you can't do, as opposed to putting yourself into what you can do. It reminds me of the book that I read about Zen and Blackness and stuff, and how, you know, it was about what they call being present, and how being present is a hard thing to practice because you know we zone in and out of life all the time. But it was mm-hmm. like, you know, if you're sweeping a floor, paying attention to each brush stroke, paying attention to doing a good job, being present in that moment, being aware, instead of zoning out and kind of mentally leaving that moment, being present in that moment and trying to be present in all the moments, in your conversations, in your job, in when you're driving, you know, stuff like that. Because presence is kind of all you really can control and all you're really here for. So I just thought that this movie was kind of a zen like thing. Like I said, look, being present, you know, that spinning leaf or seed coming off of the tree, just overhearing some conversation someone's having, I just thought that was like a cool and very different point made in a movie than I've seen in a long time.
Agreed. And I know that being present also means being yourself. And something as small as, I remember I had went to my mama's house when we could see people, and she has these beautiful, beautiful roses in her front yard, and I think roses are pretty. And so I just went and I just sniffed the roses, and she looked at me like I had lost my mind. And I was like, no, I wanted to see, you know, how did they smell? But that's one of the times where people, you know, I'm actually living in the moment of, oh, this is a rose and this is pretty and let's see what it smells like. You know, let's look around and know those type things. I think a lot of that wondery and a lot of that curiosity, it dies as people get older and they just feel like he told 22, you're, that's just living normal ass life. Like, the fuck is this? You know, but the normal part of life is also makes life beautiful too.
Well, he kept waiting for his life to start.
Right.
Like, after I accomplish this thing, I'll be ready to be the person I'm supposed to be. I'll be living the life I'm supposed to be live. And it's like, while you're doing that, you're consistently always passing by the life you have, because you're always looking over the fence at the other grass saying this is greener. And I kind of like the idea of the movie saying, nah, don't do that, you know, go ahead and call Lisa back or whatever, because if you're waiting for yourself to be like, you know, Count Basie before you fucking give a call to her, you're never gonna call her, you know. That's so great. I thought that was cool.
Also, I think for me, something that I also liked about it is that I like the animation, and I like that the animation was emphasized on blackness, because you can have animation, but this animation made black people look like black people, and like the lighting in the animation was just gorgeous, particularly in the one of the last scenes where he finally got to go on stage and play with them, and it was dark. But yet, you could see them, the longer they played, you could see them sweat. You could see, like, their skin tones. You could see, like, the afros. You could see the wide noses. It was just gorgeous. Like, you're talking about the barbershop scene. It was just beautiful to watch blackness in all its forms. I don't know how many black people were involved in, like, the animation part of it. But you could tell that there were black people deeply involved and they cared, you know, about the finished product and how the finished product looked. And so I appreciate them for going, no, we're going to make this black, but we're not going to shy away from, these are real black people. So we're not going to make them almost look glossy black. We're going to make them look black. So I appreciate them for going, yes, this is animation, but we're going to make it like a real, almost like a real life animation.
As I said, the animation style was really dope, especially when considering the voice actors and stuff. Another thing, it was funny. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like slap your knee, knock down, drag out funny. It was like a subtle type of funny, not dark humor necessarily, although there is some moments of dark humor. But, you know, the guardians of the soul realm, they were funny with their kind of like Australian, New Zealand kind of accents.
Yes.
The Terry, the one that got obsessed about the missing soul, that was funny. When 22 was in his body and the stuff that she did on Earth, you know, drinking the half drank soda off of the subway.
Yes.
You know, all the stuff with him being a cat and, you know, people being like, what's going on with this cat and all this type of stuff. And no one could understand them but 22. So yeah, all that stuff was really funny. I enjoyed those gags in the movie. And you know, even when he was being selfish, it was more funny than dangerous when he was like, I'm gonna steal somebody's badge and go back to Earth and get my body and all that stuff. I mean, you knew he was doing it for the wrong reasons, mm-hmm. but you know, it still was kind of lighthearted and funny. And yeah, I enjoyed that.
Also, and this is kind of piggyback on something that you said before, but also relationships, because 22 reminded Joe of the relationships around him, the relationship with his mother, the relationship with his barber, you know, because Joe would go get his hair cut all the time, but when 22 was talking, all of a sudden he found out more about his barber, and the barber was like, I appreciate you asking about me, you know I appreciate, you know, that, you know, us talking about something other than music. And you know, the relationship with his mom about how he felt like he was nothing. You know, I had no, you know, I hadn't accomplished these things. I, you know, you're always disappointed in me. And how, because of the views of 22 as not experienced certain things, it got the relationships around him to actually be better, because it's coming from a person who probably hadn't had the experience. 22 hadn't had the experiences of Joe. So 22 is looking from it from a fresh set of eyes. And so I'm glad that they emphasized on relationships, because relationships matter in life too. And that goes back to being present, because sometimes you can be focused on getting things done and getting things accomplished, or beating yourself up so hard on not accomplishing these things that you neglect, or you don't invest into relationships to help them grow as they properly should.
Yeah, I think that was a big thing, because she had fresh a set of eyes looking at his life, mm-hmm. this life he really didn't want, that he didn't appreciate, and was looking for his quote unquote big break. As you know, that was supposed to be like, I'm gonna get my big break. And I kind of like this thing where it was like, nah, that's not, like, this person came in and showed you just how, you know, how much you were just taking your life for granted, and you want to come back, but you want to come back because you just want to, you're not, because you want to live and you want to appreciate life. You actually want to come back because you still are on that treadmill trying to find the magical moment when you're allowed to appreciate your life. Anything else that you like?
Oh, to kind of piggyback on you what you were saying, and that's true. And also it made me think of, once he got on stage and had that moment and it was over, then what? You know, it was like, okay, I accomplished it, but it didn't fill the hole, because the hole is bigger than that. You know, the hole is, you know, what are the things that make life wild and worth living? And sometimes those things don't have to be grand. And it goes to show you that sometimes you have to center your focus in life on, what are the things that actually make me happy? What are the things that please me? And if those turn into bigger things, great. But your goal sometimes can't be to get to the biggest thing, that you sacrifice and neglect the things around you until you have a sense of emptiness. Because even once he went back the first time, and he did it, he looked around like, okay, I'm on the train, okay, I'm at home alone, you know. So it was like, okay, you did it, and then you still wasn't fulfilled.
Right Let me see, anything else for positives?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I'd say the runtime pretty good. For some reason it says an hour 40 minutes, but I want to say when the credits started rolling, there's 15 minutes left and there's no thing after that.
Mm-mm.
And it didn't come with a Pixar short, although I'm pretty sure they dropped a short today, maybe there was shorts on Disney Plus that I just haven't watched yet, but that, you know, if we went to the theater, it might have had a short. Or actually, you know what, the last couple Pixar movies didn't have one.
Mm-mm.
So maybe they're done with shorts, I don't know. But yeah, the length, you know, it was a little longer than your average kids movie, like an hour 25, hour 30, but not too long to lose interest or whatever. We watched this late at night and I didn't have any sleep, so I didn't, you know, feel bored at any point. Mm-hmm. Okay, anything you did not like?
I enjoyed it, but I could actually see some people saying it was too long, like, mm-hmm. you know, just pointing out negatives that people could have, I could see people saying, well, it was just too long, you know, they could have shortened it and things like that. The time didn't bother me, but I could see somebody looking, like you said, because when Roger said, when you go in, it tells you like it's almost a 2-hour movie. And so I could see somebody looking at 2 hours. Oh no, for animation? No, you know, but it's not actually 2 hours, one. And two, it actually flows by very quick, but I could see people with short attention span or maybe small children, them just being like, okay, I've had enough of this. When you get to the 45 minute, maybe the hour mark, depending on the age of your child. It didn't bother me, but I could see somebody pulling that as a negative.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm not saying these are negatives for everybody, mm-hmm. but it's pretty simple, but it seems also like the first movie I've watched for Pixar that to me is explicitly not really for kids. Mm-hmm. Like I think, you know, you let your kid watch this, y'all gonna be having some deep conversations about death and shit, mm-hmm. because it's not really a movie, in my opinion, that's for them. It's kind of for adults. It's the first Pixar movie I watched where I said this, they made this for adults to watch. And not that a kid would be completely turned off, but I think that's a point of note, you know.
Yeah, and I can see that being a turnoff for some adults, because you know Pixar has a formula and they're kind of going off of the formula, so I can see for some people that being a turnoff, going, oh, this is not something I can watch with my kids. I like to watch with my kids and get into my emotion and allow myself to cry the few times I cried every year, because I get to watch something Pixar.
And it's still kind of like morbid, but not like scary, but mm-hmm. you know, it's a little dark and morbid, you know, because of the subject matter. Mm-hmm. Anything else for not like? Okay, mm-hmm. The other thing I would put out there is, at least for me, this movie did not hit me in the feels the way that many other Pixar movies have. Like,
agreed.
And I don't think it's just because we weren't in the theater or anything. I just think they didn't try to swing for that, maybe because it already was dealing with a dark subject of death. Mm-hmm. They didn't, like, this was not Up. This was not even Wall-E. This definitely wasn't no Coco. Like, they weren't trying to, like, emotionally fuck you up, in my opinion. It was actually kind of a positive, like, affirming message of appreciate your life. You know, no matter what's going on with you, appreciate being here, appreciate this miracle of earth, appreciate, you know, existence and all this shit. Because yeah, dog, if you're like, even the like penultimate moment of him and 22, where he realizes, he saves 22 from being a lost soul and encourages her to go live her life, nothing. Like it just was not, it didn't give me that level of performance. I'm not sure they even try for it, but if you're looking for that old-fashioned Pixar like cry, it's not here. I do think it'll get that from some adults, but yeah. I think that's also because I have a theory that adults just like these cartoon movies because it's the one time that they allow themselves to feel shit. And to me, I don't mind it. I mean, I'm glad that they're having a good time, but I feel like these movies get an artificial boost where people say they're great, and then live action movies get an artificial like push down, which I'm like, but those movies are good. But then people are like, no, it's some bullshit. It's for some reason, if you make a cartoon, motherfuckers will cry. I don't know. Anyway, let's go ahead and score from 0 to 5. Karen.
I actually give this a 4. It was really, really, really good.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to have to agree with you. I give it, actually, you know, I'm going to give it a 3.5. It's not classic Pixar to me. It's not something I would put up. I think I will say I do feel like it was for adults, but for me personally, I'll come to Pixar to see shit for kids that might relate to adults, but I like the over the top cartoon characters and voices and colors and the jokes and stuff. I like that stuff. Mm-hmm. Even if it works on two levels, where it's like And also, this joke is for adults. I like that, but this felt more like it's just for adults. It doesn't work on two levels. Kids are not getting a different thing out of this. It's only for you as adults. And I don't know. I kind of preferred the original flavor.
Yeah, you know? Like you say, you get some chuckles, but it isn't like your normal chuckles, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, that does kind of take it down a notch. And it doesn't mean it's not a great movie. And some of y'all might watch it and just, you know, rave about it, which is fine. And so, like I said, it's not terrible. But it, like you said, it for a Pixar standard, it's not 5 out of 5.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's go ahead. And I know also black people are, because a lot of marketing was, it's Pixar's first movie with a black lead. Blackness, black. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a lot of black people, I think, will boost this movie up, which I don't blame you. Mm-hmm. I think black shit should be boosted up.
Yes, sir.
And if you feel like it was a 5 out of 5 and they had you at Jamie Foxx, then good for you, because I don't disagree with you at all. You should, you know, like, cite that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you ain't never going to catch me telling you not to feel good about some black shit.
Come on.
Anyway, we had comments on a couple of things. First of all, Spoil Movie Review 310, Canvas, Karen's solo review.
Yay.
And just came in to say, I love Canvas, everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was her comment. And then we got one comment on our review we did a couple of days ago, Wonder Woman 1984. Mm-hmm. Trojan Scooter says, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. It was a great change of pace for a superhero comic book film. I caught myself looking at Kristen Wiig like she got cakes, especially when Barbara got confident. Mm-hmm. Like Karen, I enjoyed the fight scenes and the grounded nature of them. You have a film centered on women, and the producers allowed the choreographers to make the fights look more realistic. I even liked the rom-com elements. As a reader of the Wonder Woman in the comics, specifically Dark Knight's Death Metal, is that Diana's center mission revolves around the heroes and villains knowing the full truth and accepting things. On the other side, the screenwriters could have done a better job of telling his story and building him up. Also, they didn't develop the lore of the Dreamstone very well. Finally, did either you catch the Easter egg regarding Star Blossom? I did not catch that Easter egg.
Mm-mm.
And as far as the it being a change of pace from superhero comic book film, I agree with that. It was a change of pace. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I thought they kind of got at, you know, the heart and soul of the idea that Wonder Woman is not really this film was not trying to be other superhero films. It's trying to kind of break that formula, and they kind of wanted to do, almost in a weird way, almost a non-violent superhero film. Not that it was non-violent, mm-hmm. but it was very like cartoonish PG violence. It was like, if this would have been an animated film, this would have been for kids. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of scenes in this movie that it's about emotional heartstrings. Like, let's show little girls looking up to her. Mm-hmm. Like there's a ton of just, she's saving a little girl, and the little girl has stars in her eyes looking at her. So I can see how people would like that. I think especially if you want to look at it, like you said, a film centered on women, and if that's your goal, to be like, look, it's a film made by a woman, starring a woman, for women, this is women's superhero, I can get how that would appeal to a person and they would like that. I think for me, I thought Captain Marvel did those same things but better. And gave me the same type of like girl power, woman centric vibes, but still kind of fit into the mold of what made me excited about superhero movies. But I know that's a movie that had an odd reception. I think the problem with this shit was, when you don't like this movie, there's this feeling of like, am I helping the fucking Snyder Bros and the Gamergate people and the people that fucking hate women, who were gonna hate this movie from the second it was fucking announced, because it's about a woman, starring a woman, directed by a woman, written by a woman? And I just try to watch a movie without them agendas.
And same. And I know for me, I haven't really voiced my opinion online because of that. I'm not trying to be funny, because I thought the movie was okay. I didn't think it was great, but mm-hmm. I thought it was okay. And you know, on the internet, a lot of people make you sound like if you don't like the movie, like something's just wrong with you. And you know, you cannot like something and all you, like you said, you're not, it's not an agenda thing, because like you were talking about Captain Marvel still had violence, they still had her being a badass, they still had her whipping ass, and you did get pieces of that from Diana, but you didn't get the same vibe as you did from the first. From the first one, you got, okay, she's a bad bitch, she can whip your ass, and yes, there's still heartstrings too. And it's like they pull back from the violence a little bit and went more heartstringy, which is fine, but I guess that was not my expectation based off of what I seen in the first
especially film. Coming off of the first film, right. I think also as a comic book reader of Wonder Woman, sometimes I, because he said he reads the comic, I was a little disappointed, because I feel like the comics, she has bigger epic battles, she has god level fight, she's a god basically. And you know, I was hoping to see that, especially after the first film, like, okay, this time instead of an origin story, we can get right into some of the bigger themes, maybe, you know, dealing with like Hades and some of the Greek gods and some of the bigger superpowered beings. And we didn't get that, you know. There's a ton of other little stuff I let slide in the review, but you know, I think unveiling powers that you don't have any foreshadowing, of course trying to fit it in the mold of this universe makes no sense, because it's just stuff that happened in this movie that doesn't happen in the other movies that happen after this, and that, you know, I don't know how they're gonna, I don't even know if DC is gonna wanna, Warner Brothers is gonna try to fix that, you know.
I don't think they will. And as somebody who has not read the comics but have watched a lot of the animated series, she is still a badass, and she's mm-hmm. still compassionate and have this moral high ground all at the same time in the animated series. So it was like you can actually get both,
yeah,
and that's what I desired.
Yeah, and I mean, I think even if you don't make her the compassionate nice person, she's also a fucking warrior, man. And right. So there's been versions of her in the animated movies and stuff where she's a warrior, like she's harder than Superman sometimes, where it's mm-hmm. like you know you are the one trying to be nice. There was a lot of ways to go with this. I think the direction they chose is, you know, that's the one they went with. It wasn't for me, and that's okay. Like, right, I said, I'm happy to hear people liked it. The movie's already made, it's nothing, you know. Mm-hmm. I think what's been happening lately is everyone wants a consensus, and that's impossible. People are fighting and arguing. If someone liked it, then people show up to tell them what's sorry about it. If someone hated it, people show up to tell them like why they liked it. I'm like, you know, to me it's you know, it's like religion. You like it for whatever reasons. I don't need you to explain it to me. You know?
And a lot of it is subjective, and
all of it is.
Yeah, and they've already announced it's going to be a number three. That's because no matter what, at the end of the day, for HBO Max, everybody was shutting shit down. So they was like, yes, we will do a number three. And in their mind, they was like, fuck, imagine if we was in the theaters.
Yeah, and hopefully they hope the theaters open up so that when they do a number three, they can actually make money off of it.
Right.
But there was one more thing he brought up, and I can't remember. I mean, you know, he brought up some negatives, which I do agree that they could have done those things. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm glad that people are enjoying it. I'm glad they found their movie and their version of Wonder Woman that they like or whatever. You know, and there's just certain things that are aesthetic that I just don't know how people, I know I can't understand if they explain to me why it was okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen people praising the action scenes and saying how good it looked and stuff, and I'm just like, I honestly felt the complete opposite, in a way that there's no way to explain to me how you thought her running looked good on the highway. You know what I mean? To me, I look at like the Civil War iconic scene on the highway. And to me, that's the standard for, okay, they're running alongside cars and flipping off motorcycles and shit. That's what it should look like now. And for this, it just felt, you know, just not, it didn't feel grounded to me. So, but once again, thank you for writing in.
Thank
I'm sure
you.
Other people will be leaving their feedback. This movie was a hot topic for a lot of folks.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure it's on people's watch list.
Yeah, so, and if not, we'll be back soon with another review. Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. Thank you for listening. Until next time, peace.
Peace.